the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good Thursday morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West, Farm City Newsday. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about the nutritional value of viticulture waste and how it's creating an opportunity for new products. You'll hear about Mexico's organic requirements for U.S. exports being delayed until the year 2022. Taylor Hillman has this week's Almond Update, talking all about the launch of a new podcast that's spurring grower conversation. And I'm starting off today's show with Congress pressing for an update on trade with the new administration. Let's jump right in. Trade will be a topic on Capitol Hill this week, and Dave Salmonson, American Farm Bureau Federation's Senior Congressional Relations Director, says he's keeping an eye on trade updates with China during the Senate Finance Committee and the House Ways and Means Committee this week.
We want to hear what the Trade Representative's office is planning on doing about the China Phase 1 agreement and the future of that. A lot of things were left undone in the first agreement. We had some short-term 2020-2021 issues of purchases. Will those continue? Will there be a new purchase agreement going forward? Will other areas of concern about business practices in China, will they be addressed? So a lot still to do with China.
And not just China. There's also the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement to review.
There's been issues with Canada on dairy. We are hearing that there will soon be a meeting of the USMCA commission, basically, when all three countries get together to discuss issues. And there's several issues with Mexico.
Salmonson adds there's other partnerships to be considered, too, including the UK.
They began in May of 2020, went through five rounds of talk, but they haven't resumed yet. And we have interest there. We want to see a better trade relationship with the United Kingdom. Talks also began with Kenya. We'd like to see those continue. And there's a lot of discussion about whether the U.S. will re-engage with the Trans-Pacific Partnership countries.
And now here's Brian German with back-to-back reports.
The nutritional compounds found in wine grape pumice creates an opportunity for use in other products. Graduate student researcher in the Berile Lab at UC Davis, Amanda Sinrod, explains that their recent discovery of sugar molecules called oleosaccharides within Chardonnay wine grape pumice provides even more value to viticulture waste as a potential health-enhancing additive in food products.
The health benefits of phenolics, particularly the ones that we identified in the Chardonnay mark, are very well studied. They've been known for a long time. And some companies are already capitalizing on this and creating some sort of extract or enriched powder. They're generally smaller companies and not well-known products, but they do exist. So most of the in vitro and in vivo studies highlight the phenolics in grapes and in grape marc. However, in many of their analyzed fractions, likely there are also oligosaccharides, which we have now identified and know that they're present and highly abundant. So these compounds together have great potential. So both as a source of like an extract, which is already on the market in a small sense, some companies are taking the whole marc altogether and using that in a food product. So there is a burgeoning market for this grape marc as a potentially functional food ingredient. And our research is helping to validate and investigate why we should be utilizing grape marc and not just composting it or feeding it to animals.
Implementation of new organic requirements for American exports entering Mexico will now be delayed until 2022. Last December, Mexico published a measure requiring that most organic products be certified under Mexico's organic law standards. Enforcement of the new requirement was initially set to begin immediately. After negotiations between Mexican officials and the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative and U.S. Department of Agriculture, an extension was granted to June 26th. The latest announcement will provide a further extension through the end of the year. The regulating body for organic products in Mexico is the National Service for Animal and Plant Health, Food Safety, and Quality. The agency will be responsible for the certification and enforcement for the new requirements that U.S. exporters will have to abide by. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said that USDA will continue working with exporters in assisting with the transition to the new compliance guidelines. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And some of the conservation programs within the Farm Bill serve and could expand as vehicles to advance climate-smart agriculture practices and systems. USDA's Rod Bain has more in this report.
What is the role of Title II Farm Bill programs, those focused on agricultural conservation, regarding the advancement of climate-smart ag?
USDA Title II programs have been instrumental in promoting the adoption of conservation practices that yield significant climate benefits, as well as healthier soils and ecosystems. Good tools exist to expand and advance policies to promote climate-smart agriculture.
Colorado State University Professor Keith Poshtian speaking at a House Agriculture Subcommittee hearing Wednesday. He believes new innovations and quantification systems, such as the Comet Farm System, can further advance climate-smart ag within Farm Bill programs.
Further improvements in quantification technologies can help increase engagement by the private sector to take these improved practices to scale.
He adds USDA support payments and technical assistance play an important role in mitigating risk for producers while they transition to various conservation practices.
Poshtian goes on to discuss the role of USDA conservation programs in encouraging and incentivizing growers to conduct various conservation practices.
USDA programs such as EQIP, the Conservation Stewardship Program, and others have been key to encouraging producers to adopt conservation practices across the country. Although many of these practices can pay for themselves in the long run by improving soil function and crop yields, there are numerous barriers to adoption. Farming is inherently risky, and farmers tend to be risk-averse. Thus, the support payments and technical assistance from USDA help to mitigate risk while farmers transition to these new practices.
It's that time where we head out for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Don't forget, if you'd like to review any of today's reports, you can simply head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
WildEye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. WildEye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on WildEye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Midwestern farmers, ranchers, and agricultural workers have direct access to a new tool to help them manage stress, anxiety, depression, or substance issues. A new website, www.farmstress.org, is designed to help provide the agricultural community with resources and support provided through the North Central Farm and Ranch Assistance Center. Josie Rodolfi of the University of Illinois says, quote, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so it's an opportune time to unveil this website that will serve as a clearinghouse for stress and mental health resources for anyone experiencing stress related to the many challenges of farming, unquote. The North Central Farm and Ranch Assistance Center is a 12-state collaboration based at the University of Illinois and works to expand access to and knowledge of mental health resources. The website shares available resources and research in a convenient, easy-to-access location. It also has resources by state and topic, including crisis numbers, telephone hotlines, and training resources. Rodolfi wants to encourage people in the agricultural community to bookmark the site for future reference on the many challenges that they, their families, employees, and clients may face in agriculture. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Daniel Leal. And now for more local news, here's Brian German.
Recipients of the 2021 Linda Lester Scholarship Fund were recently announced by the Santa Clara County Farm Bureau. Four students majoring in agriculture have been awarded a total of $32,000 in scholarships. Recipients include Ashley Jordan of Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, who is pursuing a career in agricultural communications. Transferring to Butte College in the fall and then on to Chico State University in the spring, Iana Morrow will be preparing for a career in ag education through assistance from the scholarship. Entering his fourth year at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, Evan Huang will be using the scholarship support to pursue his food science major. Finally, Wyatt Wolf is preparing for a career in production agriculture at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. The funding for the scholarships was made possible through a donation of $30,000 from Linda Lester and $2,000 from American Ag Credit. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And the Biden administration last week released its much-anticipated 30 by 30 report. Michael Klimitz tells us how the report might affect farmers and ranchers.
The Conserving and Restoring America the Beautiful Report, also known as 30 by 30 Report, seeks to conserve 30% of U.S. land and water by 2030. American Farm Bureau Federation Vice President for Public Affairs Sam Kiefer says the report provides high-level priorities for the effort.
The goals of this report are announced in the charge the president identified in his executive order. But this report does is identify eight principles that the administration would like to follow over the course of the next 10 years to pursue those objectives.
Kiefer says the principles included in the report address the needs of farmers and ranchers.
The report goes out of its way to recognize the concerns raised by Farm Bureau and by agriculture in general. And it also recognizes the contributions that farmers and ranchers have made in conservation. This report is philosophical, broad, and high level in nature, but it identifies important principles that we can agree with, such as incentive-based and voluntary conservation, personal property rights, and continue ranching on public lands.
Kiefer says now the agencies engaged in the process will find ways to develop and implement the strategies.
Our task is to make sure that we continue to be at that table and that we have an opportunity to provide input. Even though the document is complementary of agriculture, the details matter, and we look forward to being a part of putting the meat on the bones with the details and making sure that the administration is true to their promise to protect American agriculture.
Learn more at fb.org. Michael Klimitz, Washington.
And in other news, the Farmer Veteran Coalition issues grants to small farmers. The Farmer Veteran Coalition announced grants last week to support veterans in their early years of farming and ranching. More than 100 farmers are being awarded equipment thanks to the Farmer Veteran Fellowship Fund. FVC Executive Director Jeanette Lombardo says, quote, "We directly purchase a piece of equipment the farmer has identified as being critical." Over 11 years, more than 700 veterans have benefited, with $3.5 million in equipment distributed. The 2021 class includes representatives in nearly 40 states and 47 females. Equipment will soon be delivered to farms starting now and into the summer. Grantees anxiously await greenhouses and grow tents, walk-in coolers and cold storage units, milking systems, water filtrations, and honey extractors. Other unique requests include a mushroom substrate steamer and a lavender bud stripper. Funding is made possible through sponsored support. Some of this year's grantees have been mentored by other farmer veterans throughout their careers, and many intend to hire veterans as they expand their own businesses. For more information, you can visit farmvetco.org. The National Association of Farm Broadcasters contributed to this report. You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leo. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Now let's get into this week's almond update. Here's Taylor Hillman.
Today's specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com. The Almond Board of California has officially entered the podcast world with their Almond Journey podcast. ABC said the production will explore how growers, handlers, and other stakeholders are making things work in their operations to drive the almond industry forward. ABC's Senior Director of Global Communications, Darren Williams, said it's spurring communication between producers. We're now joined by Darren Williams, Senior Director of Global Communications at the Almond Board of California. Darren, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well today, Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. We're talking about something fun today. Almond Board has started a new podcast. Podcasts are becoming more and more popular. Lots of people listen to podcasts in different avenues. You guys have started one. It's called the Almond Journey Podcast. Let's start about what this is, what you hope it does, and how did this begin?
The idea of doing a podcast, we kind of have batted it around for a while now, Taylor, and like you said, everybody's doing it, right? But that's not a good reason for us to do it. We had to have, you know, a real specific audience in mind and a specific purpose before we launched our podcast. And the Almond Journey podcast is really intended for the almond industry audience, specifically growers. And it's about facilitating kind of grower-to-grower conversations. We know that growers like to get information from other growers about what's working in their orchard, maybe what they tried that didn't work, so you don't make the same mistake. And that's the idea behind the Almond Journey. It's growers sharing their personal stories of their journey and overcoming challenges along the way, whether it's challenges with pollination or pest management or, you know, irrigation. Obviously, the drought situation currently, a lot of people concerned about how they're going to keep their trees growing and thriving this summer. And that's really the purpose, to share that kind of information grower to grower.
Very cool. I think you're right in the fact that as we've talked to growers, they like hearing from other growers. They like hearing what works, what's not working, other experiences. And I think that's the key. And that's what you're doing here with the podcast. And you guys got Tim Hammerich on, who's well known in the podcast world. And he's going to be traveling around talking with people, right?
Yeah, I think that was kind of a coup, actually, to get Tim Hammerich to host our podcast. Tim has been podcasting for several years now, launched his podcast called The Future of Ag, which is a very popular podcast. Tim does a great job virtually traveling up and down 99 and visiting growers along the way. And it's really taking that journey. The first stop actually was at Dave Fippen's Travail and Fippen operation in Ripon. And then we go south down to Arvin, California, to talk to Almond Board Chairman Kent Stenderup, and then back up to the north part of the valley to talk to Dan Cummings about the early days of Project Apis M, a Seeds for Bees program that many growers take advantage of these days to plant pollinator habitat and cover crops. And, you know, it's just really taking, he does a great job taking you along that journey and making you feel like you're really driving up and down the valley and getting a sense of the people and the different challenges in the different regions of the valley.
Very good. Yeah, three episodes already available for this. And you guys got a fourth one coming, right?
We do. We'll be putting these out on a regular schedule. But like I mentioned, we have Dan Cummings in one episode, Kent Sindrup in another, and Dave Pippin. Those are up and live. You can find them on the almonds.com website under industry news. And or you can just go to either Spotify or Apple Podcasts or another platform called Stitcher and search for them there. And we'll be putting those up. Of course, those will be available into perpetuity for people who want to listen to those previous, the ones that have been previously recorded. And then we'll be adding new podcasts on a regular schedule.
Very good. Again, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and at almonds.com under the industry news. Lots of different ways to get podcasts nowadays. Darren, as we look at this, is there ways that people can interact with the podcast? Can you get some feedback? Or if a grower hears this and is interested in being on it, can they contact you guys and let you know and be involved?
Yeah, absolutely. We have an email address, industry@almondboard.com. that growers can use to contact our industry team at any time to either, you know, if you have a suggestion for a grower who has a great story that you think would be worthy of the podcast, or just feedback on anything that's been shared on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Our industry team is very responsive, and if they get an email in there, we'll get right back to you. Yeah, we're looking for that feedback. You know, Taylor, it's been a year going on 15, 16 months of not really having face-to-face interpersonal interactions. And, you know, so we'd love to hear from the industry. And then the podcast is one way to facilitate those conversations in a different way. It, you know, another thing I think is great about the podcast is it's very convenient. You know, you're jumping in your truck to drive from one orchard to another. Each one of them is about 25 minutes long. So, you know, hopefully kind of fit in that time frame, you know, or a couple of short drives. And it's just easy to listen to. And you don't have to worry about, you know, trying to read something while you're driving. Listening to the Almond Journey podcast.
Very good. Add it to your listening queue wherever you get your podcasts, the Almond Journey podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Again, Darren Williams, Senior Director of Global Communications, thank you so much for your time.
Hey, Taylor, one final thought. Anybody out there is thinking, you know, I don't really do podcasts. I don't know how to do podcasts. Really not that difficult. If you have an iPhone, you've already got a podcast app already on your phone. You don't even have to download anything. You just go to our industry news, the section of the almonds.com website, and click on it there and click on Apple Podcasts, and it'll pull right up.
Reporting for Agnet West, I'm Taylor Hillman.
Thanks, Taylor. And I do want to quickly remind you that if you'd like to get a recap of this Almond Update or any of the other reports mentioned in today's show, you can always head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com for more information. Stay tuned as we'll have more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye solutions include soil moisture monitoring, weather stations with frost alerts, flow monitoring and compliance reporting for Sigma and SB88, pump and valve control, and many more. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Rabobank says hog prices are sharply higher in many markets worldwide as processors are scrambling to find adequate supplies. Higher disease losses in key growing regions, along with the lagging impact of industry liquidation brought on by COVID-19, have limited available hog supplies. Christine McCracken, senior analyst for animal protein at Rabobank, says, quote, African swine fever has proven harder to manage than initially expected in some regions, slowing herd rebuilding efforts in Asia and shifting trade expectations for the rest of the world, unquote. Higher disease-related losses in parts of North America are also contributing to the supply shortfall in the U.S. and Mexico. The reemergence of classical swine fever in Japan and Brazil is currently expected to have a limited impact on production, but still brings new risk to the markets. McCracken says, quote, we expect a gradual recovery in the herd, yet higher costs of raising animals and demand uncertainty are expected to moderate the pace of growth, unquote. Higher costs in raising hogs are contributing to production slowdowns in certain regions, as the price of feed is up 35% year over year. Lower production expectations have left the market short of pork, just as demand is getting stronger. Impossible Foods recently secured child nutrition labels, clearing the path towards entering the K-12 market this fall. Child nutrition labels are voluntary food crediting statements authorized by the Department of Agriculture. The labels make it easier for schools participating in federal child nutrition programs to determine how much a particular food contributes to federal meal pattern requirements for nutritionally balanced meals for children each school day. With the child nutrition label secured, Impossible Foods is kicking off K-12 pilot programs this month with school districts across the United States. Participating schools are using the product in dishes ranging from the Impossible Street Taco to Impossible Frito Pie to Spaghetti with Impossible Meat Sauce. School district pilot participants also surveyed kids after using Impossible items to gauge their interest. Jessica Applegren, Vice President of Communications at Impossible Foods, says, quote, our child nutrition label launch is just the beginning of Impossible Foods engaging this next crucial generation, unquote. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. And in a California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News report, potential thieves in rural California have been using drones to locate equipment and tools they want to steal. The drones can scout property not visible from a public road. Authorities in Solano County report arresting two suspects in drone-related thefts, and other rural crime deputies describe similar situations. Deputies have warned farmers to keep valuable equipment out of sight from the air if possible, as well as locking it up after use. Again, that was a California Farm Bureau Food and Farm News report. And rounding out today's program, here's a recap of one of today's top stories with Brian German.
The nutritional compounds found in wine grape pumice creates an opportunity for use in other products. Graduate student researcher in the Berile lab at UC Davis, Amanda Sinrod, explains that their recent discovery of sugar molecules called oleosaccharides within Chardonnay wine grape pumice provides even more value to viticulture waste as a potential health-enhancing additive in food products.
The health benefits of phenolics, particularly the ones that we identified in the Chardonnay mark, are very well studied. They've been known for a long time. And some companies are already capitalizing on this and creating some sort of extract or enriched powder. They're generally smaller companies and not well-known products, but they do exist. So most of the in vitro and in vivo studies highlight the phenolics in grapes and in grape marc. However, in many of their analyzed fractions, likely there are also oligosaccharides, which we have now identified and know that they're present and highly abundant. So these compounds together have great potential. So both as a source of like an extract, which is already on the market in a small sense, some companies are taking the whole marc altogether and using that in a food product. So there is a burgeoning market for this grape marc as a potentially functional food ingredient. And our research is helping to validate and investigate why we should be utilizing grape marc and not just composting it or feeding it to animals.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgnetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgnetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.